Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Trek Podcast of Joy and Gozo TV on this beautiful, what's today? Friday, May 31st. Tomorrow is June 1st. I think yesterday I said that May 30th was the last day of the month, but it's not. It's May 31st. So today is the official last day of May, and tomorrow is, of course, June 1st, and perhaps the official start of summer. But regardless of what is what, thank you for being here. Welcome back to my channel. Welcome back to this podcast. Please like, share, comment, subscribe to my podcast in iTunes. Give me a 5-star review. It helps to get the word out to more people. Apple uses those reviews in order to improve distribution. So thank you for being here. Talking today about growth in humility, how to grow in humility, especially when you are a success-driven person. So I've been talking a lot about this lately because it's what I'm going through personally, of course. As I've said many times, I love the Enneagram. I listen to and read a lot of stuff on what that means, especially because I like to know, as some of these experts say, not what I see, but how I see. No. Not what I do, but what I see. So let me repeat that. Life, it seems like it's not about what we do, but what we see. And so, for example, everything in my life, I see it through the lens of success and wanting to be the best. You may not see it that way. You may see life more through the lens of wanting to have justice around you, or perhaps through the lens of having fun, that life is fun, or maybe through the lens of right and wrong and being in control of your life. So there are many ways, 9 ways, in fact, of seeing life. And so for me, it's the 3 that resonates with me the most. And as I've said before, if you're not familiar with the Enneagram, I encourage you to go to enneagraminstitute.com and maybe not take the test, but more than anything, read up on the different types and see what resonates with you. But I think that even if you're not a 3, this stuff will ring true with many of us. And that's the idea of humility and contentment. So as I've said before, I am not happy unless I have a lot of things around me and success. And when it comes to church, for example, a big church, when it comes to my preaching, a big audience, when it comes to my social media stuff, lots of people commenting and liking, and in terms of my body, having a very fit body, in terms of my education, you name it. Every area of my life needs to be at 100%. That's just how God made me. It's spirit-driven, it's spirit-given. There are ups and downs to that, but that's how God made me. We all have a certain gift that's been given by God. Now, the downside of that gift, obviously, is when I don't have those things, then it can be very difficult for me. And so right now, maybe for the first time in my life, I lead a small church. I have 0 followers online, except for maybe my mom, who listens, and a few friends. Thank you for listening to this podcast, etc. And so what do you do with that? And then what do you do with the gospel, of course, which calls us to living a life of humility? So all these things are rattling around in my brain, and I feel like God is transforming me in the area of contentment and gratitude, humility, patience. All of these virtues that I must say, I normally say yuck to, like, ooh, who wants that? Like, yuck, that would be me. Now, if that is the case, if I say yuck to those things, whether I should or not, you can't judge me, okay? Like, I don't judge you, don't judge me. So regardless of how I am, why should I then become humble and kind and patient and have gratitude in my heart and contentment, besides the fact that the Bible says it, just practically speaking? Well, practically speaking, I need to become more happy with my circumstances, because failure is a horrible feeling. It makes me depressed. It makes me anxious. It makes me hyperactive. Feelings of discontentment make me want to consume, want to risk want to become aggressive, all of these things that are not really helpful, that are not very positive, and I don't like that part of me. On the opposite end, I notice that when I practice humility, when I focus on contentment, I feel more love, I feel more holy, I am better at everything, and I think most of all, I feel loved by others, which is the biggest reason why threes see the world through success. Because, I mean, I think literally this happened to many of us, and now it happened to me. We weren't held as children. Literally, I wasn't held as a child for many reasons. But because of this and that, the threes, we often achieve to mask the need to be loved. And so when we don't achieve, as I said, then things get really bad because you're faced with your failure, with your emptiness. Now, who can fill that emptiness, meaning that hole or that need for love? Well, obviously we know, right? God, Jesus, my wife, my amazing mom. I mean, obviously, right? All of the normal things that you would think would be naturally there. Well, that hasn't been the case for me. Even though my parents were there, we grew up together. I grew up without my parents for most of my teens and adult life. My grandmother who raised me, she passed away. My father, who I admired and loved and idolized, he passed away when I was a young man. My wife, of course, has been the most constant person in my life, and that's why, to me, she is one of the most obvious expressions of the love of God. Then you have our three teens talk about expressions of the love of God. Just beautiful, beautiful gifts from God to me and to this world and to themselves, or not for me, but you know what I mean. So with all that said, how do I then find contentment? How do I manage this desire, this unhealthy at times desire to succeed? Now, let me say one thing. Not everything in that is unhealthy. A lot of that desire to succeed is, as I said, given by God. It's Ephesians 2:10 in me. This is how God made me. But I think that what I am discovering is that gift is weakened by discontentment, and it is strengthened by contentment. Maybe that's the best way I can put it thus far. That drive to succeed and that desire to be number one and to achieve and to give glory to God and to make things better around me is weakened by discontentment. And it is strengthened by gratitude and contentment. And I think that really is what I'm feeling. It's really what I'm experiencing. The other day, Mother's Day, so a couple weeks ago, I dedicated four children at our church. I don't know why I've dedicated many children before, but I think it was just such a cute thing. First, I was holding this one little girl that's just adorable. Then I was holding this little boy who wanted to, like, not be held. And then at my feet, I had a 7-year-old and maybe 5-year-old, two little boy and girl. And I wanted to hug them all, and it was just hilarious. And the whole congregation was just oohing and aahing and laughing, and all the moms were freaking out, thinking I would drop the kids. And it was just hilarious. Everybody sent me pictures of that moment. It was just beautiful. But normally, pastors, you know, we do these things, and of course we love people and we love what we do, but there are so many people that come and go that it's hard to really know everyone. Well, because my church is small, I know everybody. And I know not just them on Sundays. I know a lot about their lives and their struggles and their dreams and their desires. And so when I was dedicating these children and their parents, I could look into their eyes and feel their love and their pains. For example, one of the ladies who's the grandmother to this little boy that she was dedicating on behalf of her daughter. I mean, if you can just, wow, as if that wasn't already moving enough. When I was looking at her on stage, I didn't just see an amazing grandmother. I saw the lady who was on her knees just 2-3 weeks prior to that, cleaning my carpet. On her knees, taking out gum stains in our church. On the floor, on her knees, spraying this gum off the carpet at church, cleaning the church so that I could look good, the house of God could look good, so that our church and her church could look beautiful, and most of all, to honor Jesus. So that's the level of love and success that I'm not going to say that it's replacing it. See, it's not about replacing. As I said, it's about enhancing. It's about making my drive to succeed better. It's strengthening it. Whereas if I was focused on, oh, it's just these three people. Oh, there's only so many people out there. Oh, well, you know, I'm not on live streaming. Nobody's watching this all over the world. I'm, you know, blah, blah, blah. If I was focusing on that, it would weaken that beautiful moment. And this is what we as three struggle with. We're not in our feelings. We're in our heads thinking of how can I succeed? And guess what? It's never enough. I've reached heights in every area of my life, physically, financially, personally, love, relationships, everything that matters to me. And yet I want more. I have Jesus. I have amazing parents. I have a gorgeous wife. I have three teens. I have everything I could ever want. And yet if I'm not careful, I will always not just want more, but be unhappy with what I already have, which is, as I said, it's what weakens the gift that is in me. And then people feel used. They feel unloved. They feel like you're just there for you. They feel like I'm a liar, disingenuous, or not, or I'm fake. I'm not real. I'm not genuine or authentic. All things that I deal with. But God is changing me from the inside out in a deep way. Not as I used to change. I used to want to be content to kind of pass some time, or to mask my real desire, which is to be famous and admired by millions. But it's actually, as I said, it's in this contentment, or this round of contentment, is enhancing what God has put in my life. He wants me to be successful and content. He wants me to be ambitious and humble. He wants me to be a success-driven person and crying on my knees before his presence. And that's really my sweet spot. It's that 3-4 wing, as I call it. It's that three that longs to make my church better, my life better, my wife, to love her to the best of my ability, encourage our children to do great things. But it's also the one who dedicates this amazing grandmother and her little grandson, and who's doing it from his heart, not just from duty or responsibility. That's the difference. And I'm telling you, it's not a subtle difference. It's a major difference. Now, there's this whole other part to the three, which is the aggressiveness. And in that aspect, meaning boldness, aggressiveness, and kind of the truth teller, in that, I'm actually trying to increase that. So it's kind of weird. There are two sides to this whole thing. There's a three that needs to become content so that he can become stronger, he or she. But then there's also the three that has to become more bold, kind of more like an eight. And that's another area of growth that I am going through as well. I'm going through a lot of changes, all positive changes. And I share these things with you not because you're the same as me, obviously you're not, but so that you can examine your own life and say, you know, what is my purpose? How do I see life? I have a friend who everything she sees is through fairness. Is this fair or not fair? And she struggles with things that aren't fair in life. And she will quit jobs and get mad at her boss and get upset with her employees and people she works with because she is blinded by fairness. And whereas the growth for that person, the fairness person, is to have joy, is to minimize the lust, which is the vice of this person. This is the eight type in the Enneagram. And instead of seeing everything as fair or unfair, is to actually grow in joy, in happiness, not in lust. Lust says, I need more. But contentment, happiness, and joy says, I'm already filled. And so it's a very beautiful thing. Every one of us has a certain thing that drives us and how we see life. And in the hands of the Holy Spirit, it can be beautiful for me, as I said. When I am in the hands of the Holy Spirit and walking with the Holy Spirit, I am a driven person, a success-driven person that is content, that can find his true happiness in what is already there in front of him, no matter how big or small. And being able, and I think this is the victory lap or the reward, being able to then receive loads and buckets and millions of dollars worth of love. From whom? From my wife, from my mom, from my dad, rest in peace, my grandmother, rest in peace. The grandmother on the stage holding that little baby. That's the stuff that moves me. That's the stuff that moves me. And it's not a stepping stone. This is not, as I said earlier, this is not like, okay, some sort of trick or some sort of, what do they call those things in marketing? I don't know, like a pro tip on how to get to the top. This is not some mechanics or a trick, yeah, or some sort of sales pitch on how to get to the top. This is what success looks like for a three, is drivenness, ambition, winning, being the best, achieving, but strengthened by contentment, satisfied in contentment, nurtured, held by contentment, held by the love that is found in contentment. Because see, contentment is where love actually lies. Love isn't found in success. Love is found in the contentment. It's in those moments on stage with that grandmother. That's where what I'm looking for really is found. And the same thing for you. What you really want, let's say you are an eight and you want fairness. The fairness isn't found in your boss or your employees or right or wrong in life. Your fairness isn't found in how much money you make or the value that you feel you have and all that stuff, all these metrics. Your true value is not found in lust. Your true fairness is found in your joy, that you have joy inside of your heart. Gozo, as we call it here. And it goes down the line, depending on your type. So, very beautiful things. I am so glad to be sharing these things with you. First, because I know that I'm learning a lot. And second, as I said, hopefully these are things that you yourself can implement. You can research them. You can learn from my mistakes as well as my growth. And simply, I mean, I'm just excited to be growing with you. And as I always say, I want to be an example of honesty and of process. To be someone who could just easily think of, oh, my greatest adventure or my next adventure. And instead, I'm realizing that there is an adventure already in front of me. And it's called love. It's called the people that love me and the people that I already love. And the moments of beauty and of joy and of miracles that happen every day all around me. And guess what? They've happened for 50 years, my whole life. They've happened. And I can look back and say, wow, God really has been faithful. So I hope that these reflections can help you along your own journey. I encourage you to go to enneagraminstitute.com and check out these different personality types and learn about your type. There's also a lot of books. You can just go to Amazon and type in Richard Rohr Enneagram, or just type Enneagram. And there's a lot of them that are really amazing. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, and share this video or this podcast with 10 of your friends on Instagram. Follow me at David Trigg, LA, I guess. And thank you so much for listening. I will see you next time.